Parshat Noach begins with a description of Noach himself. These are the offsprings of Noach. Elo told us Noach. Noach was a righteous man, a tzaddik, tamim, perfect in his generation. Et Elokim italech Noach. Noach walked with God. So here, on this pasuk, we know the famous statement of Rashi that he was tamim b'dorasav. Source number 2 brings this down. If you were in the generation of Avraham Avinu, would he also have been something special, or was only specifically in his generation he was special? And as Mayan Beit HaShoeva notes in 5a and 5b, what brings Chazal to even look at Noach in a negative light when the Chumash itself says he was a tzaddik, a tamim, et Elokim italech Noach? It's the fact that great tzaddikim came from Noach, Avos HaKadoshim, Moshe Rabbeinu, and great Rishoyim, Titos, the Nebuchadnezzar also came from him. So great Rishoyim came from Noach. You know that there must have been something in him, inherently, that wasn't totally perfect, that such negativity could eventually be produced. And therefore, Chazal look at it, and they say, B'dorotav, yes, he was special, yes, he was great, but they constrict it a bit by saying only in his generation. Nevertheless, we focus in on the last phrase today, Mirtz Hashem. Et Elokim hitalech Noach, Noach with God. And this same balance that we've had of Bedorotav, was he a tzaddik, was he not a tzaddik? Can you compare him to Avraham Avinu, can you not? We have in this Rashi as well. Source number 3, Rashi, Ube'Avram hu amer asher italachti lefana. Here at Elokim italech Noach, Noach walked with God. But by Avraham, asher italachti lefanav, he kivyochel walked in front of God. Which means, says Rashi, based on Chazal, Noach hayat tzarich sad letomcho. Noach needed always a helping hand in order to get through. Aval Avraham hayam mitchazek, Avraham Avinu would strengthen himself, umalech besitko ma'alav, and was able to go with his own righteousness, forging ahead. So here again, we need to ask ourselves, and this is the question the Birkas Mordechai asked in source number 3. Habikarat v'atviyah zod al Noach sricha biur. This criticism of Noach needs to be understood. You know, to be able to be walking with God is a major thing. Okay, he needed help. We all need help. So we should be so critical of Noach to say you can't compare Noach to Avraham. Avraham walked on his own. Noach needed help to support him. What is indeed the difference between the sad letomcho, this helping hand, and being able to walk on his own? And that's the question in Mirtz Hashem we are going to. Obviously a lot to say. We're going to focus in on Mirtz Hashem on two approaches of many. And obviously the lessons for our lives of what was inherently the difference between Noach and Avraham. What does it mean that you have a tzad l'tomcho, this helping hand, and the difference of being able to walk on your own and the implications that it had in Noach's life and in Avraham Avinu's life? In just a superficial way of understanding this, Rav Pam notes in source 4, Noach needed help because of the exceedingly wicked generation he lived in, which broke down all the barriers of immorality. So Hashem had to help him be able to survive. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, was able to change the atmosphere around him, and therefore he did not need the same divine assistance. We need to be able to examine this and explore this a little bit deeper, the personalities of Avraham Avinu, the personalities of Noach. Before we begin, or as the introduction to a first level, let's just step back and appreciate the greatness of Noach. Right? There is a tzad that had he been the generation of Avraham, he would have been nothing. And there's a tzad that had he been the generation of Avraham Avinu, he still would have been a something. Because after all, as we saw in Rav Schwab, not only negative people and destructive forces came out of Noach, but also great tzaddikim. There is a tremendous positive side to Noach. Very enigmatic personality, a lot to try to understand. So before we come and criticize Noach, the difference between tzad l'tomcho and mitchazek me'elav, we first need to understand that there's a value, as the Birkas Mordechai was saying, in the fact that he walked with God. et Elokim italech Noach, just looking at the pasuk, at face value, Noach's a tzaddik, he's a righteous person, he's a tamim, he's a wholesome person, et Elokim italech Noach, he walked with God. Let's try to understand this idea of walking with Hashem. What does this mean? And then once we understand that, we can then build on the difference of walking with a helping hand and walking without a helping hand. I'd like to try to learn together a beautiful essay of the Siftei Chaim in his Midos and Avodos Hashem Chelek Aleph. He has a piece on Shivisti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, placing Hashem in front of you at all times. And he notes, this is source 6, that this is a fundamental principle in all of Yiddishkeit. This is really what Yiddishkeit is about, both as a means and as a goal, that we have to be able to recognize that our whole existence in life is living with God consciousness and God awareness. And obviously, as he notes in source 6, there are many gradations and many levels. Let's work on just the foundations and the fundamental aspects of what this is about. And he notes in source number 7. Let's begin here. HaRama poteach et Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. The Rama begins the Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, which is the way of our lives, well, the Shulchan Aruch we follow. B'shivitzi Hashem l'negdi tamid, in our daily life, the Rama begins it off with the pasuk of you should place Hashem before you at all times. Ki arachayim kishmo keinu derech hachayim liyudi b'chol yom imot hashana. Arachayim is as his name is. It's the way we should live our entire existence. Mei leidato ad yomo acharon, from the day you're born to the end of your time. From the waking hour to the time you go to sleep. What is the knisa l'arachayim? What is the entrance into our daily lives? What's the mindset we should begin with? Hishiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid. Shu mafteach l'chovat ha'odam b'alamo. This is the key of understanding our responsibility in this world. And this is what the Rambam and Maor Nevuchim speaks about. Hadarim ha'lamatarav asish avodat Hashem mitoch dveikus. This is also the goal. So, yes, this is the ultimate, to be able to understand that Hashem is with you at every single moment. But do not just look at it as an, you know, some esoteric goal. Understand that this is the ABCs, this is the Shiviti Hashem L'negdi Tamid. Which means, in source 8, that Kol Ma'aseh Mitzvot, all of the mitzvot we do, V'limud HaTorah, and the learning of Torah, Mataratam Lachdir B'Lev Hadam Shiviti Hashem L'negdi Tamid. The purpose is to connect you to Hashem. Lahargish to feel shetamud u'momed l'fnei Hashem, and you should feel that you're constantly standing in front of Hashem. Every single motion that you do, every single thing that you say, every thought that you have has to be with an awareness. I am standing in front of Hashem. What would Hashem want from me at this moment? How would Hashem like me to behave? What are the restrictions placed on me? What are the obligations placed on me? What is the appropriate thing to do? This is the mindset we need to ask ourselves, our cold side v'shal, at every single step of the way. And as the Rama continues in source number 9, you can't compare Hashir Ochim Lifnei Elokim with the mindset of walking for God as the imagery of being in the King's presence. A person who's in the King's presence is going to sit differently, is going to walk differently, is going to speak differently. They're going to think before things come out of their mouth. Is this appropriate? Is this the correct etiquette? Right? You sit at a king's table, you think, you know, should I pick up, you know, the first of the 7 forks or the middle of the 7 forks? You know, there's a fork for the fish and a fork for this. Right? Every single thing is measured out. The same thing should be held true with ourselves as well. Is this the correct bracha to say on this food? Is this an ikkar? Is this a tuffel? Is this the main food? Is this a subordinate food? Am I going to be finishing my meal where I started? Everything is like picking up the forks. There's a correct etiquette. There's a correct protocol in all of our avodas Hashem that we need to understand. And indeed, the Gra, in stating the source of this Rama, in source number 10, says it's really based on the Gemara Brachos where Darash Bar Kafra, Ezu Parsha Ktana Shekol Gufei Torah Tuluyim Ba. What's a small segment of Torah that the entire Torah is encompassed in within this? And that's the Pasuk in Mishlei Gimel Vav, Bechol Drachecha De'ehu Vehu Yasher Chosecha. which means that in all of your ways you should know Hashem, and He will straighten your path. And he explains in the bracket in 10, Et ha-pasuk hazeh nitan lefaresh bo-fanim shonim. You can explain this pasuk in many different levels. Kol ha-drachim v'chol ha-masim shocha yaviu otcha ladat v'lakir et Hashem. All that you do should lead you to this level, v'chol drachecha da'enu. Whatever you do, your goal is to know Hashem. Dat hi gam l'shon kirva v'dvekut. That is also intimate knowledge. Ki kol pula, double underline, tzricha lekarev et adam yoter v'yoter l'kadosh baruch. Every single thing that we do, every action we do, should bring us to a closer relationship with Hashem. And this is what this is about. It's not just I go through the motions. Rather, the motion should lead me to an awareness while I'm doing the motions that I'm standing in front of Hashem, and simultaneous to that, the motion itself should lead me to kirvas Hashem, to closeness to Hashem. As Rabbi Bernstein points out, the Sefer Agada, we've seen this line many times, that a mitzvah has to be done with full consciousness, full mindfulness, not to be being busy doing other things and multitasking. And he says the full value in 11 of a mitzvah is attained when it receives 100% of a person's focus and attention. A mitzvah is not just a task to be performed, it's a moment to be experienced. Wow. That has to be our goal of mitzvah observance. It's a moment to be experienced. It's a moment of closeness. It's just like when two people have an intimate moment together. You don't want to leave it. You just want to hold onto it. It's a moment of preciousness. That should be our mindset for every moment. It brings me that one step closer to Baruch Shalom. It brings me to that level of feeling Hashem's presence much more pronounced within my life. And this idea of closeness to Hashem, awareness of Hashem, the Gra continues and says the makor, the source for this, is our pasuk of Ish Tzadik Tamim. And in what way was it sitkus? In what way was his righteousness manifested? Et Elokim itan lech Noach. B'meit b'tam madregana sitkun ha-shlema shel Noach. In what way was his righteousness being able to be seen? Tzadik tamim, tamim bekach shet Elokim itan lech Noach. Which means, shebechol halichotav, in all of his ways, v'drachav, in everything he did, he felt like he was doing the will of Hashem. This, my friends, is the greatness of Noach. This, my friends, in and itself, is a goal for all of us to try to aspire to. Et Elokim italech Noach, it means he walked with a God consciousness. He walked with an awareness of Yishivisi Hashem l'negdi tami, that he was in the presence of Hashem. Another individual who's described in Parshas Bereishit as walking with Hashem was Chanoch. And we know this is source 13, the Siftei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander, that's how it continues. The Baal HaMusar explained, based on the Kabbalistic writings, that Chanoch was somebody who was a sandlar, he was a shoemaker by profession, and he would be Miyacheg Yehudim. He would be unifying the names of Hashem when he would make the stitches in the shoes. So the Baal HaMusar explained, you can't be, you know, thinking about Kabbalistic unification of God when you're working. They said, that's not pshat. What does it mean that he's miyacheg yichudim? It means that every stitch he made, his mindset was, I want to have him a tati odeo, I want to emulate Hashem, and I want to be able to do this chesed of making sure that the workmanship I'm doing is up to par. I'm working not for the money, I'm working to do the chesed that people will have shoes to walk on. Hashem, who is Gomel Chasodim, Hashem, who does acts of kindness, I too want to follow in his ways and also do acts of kindness. The greatness of Chanoch was that while he was at work, his mind was on how he could be able to give to others. His mind was how to do chesed. His mind was on how he could emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. Al pi amur, second paragraph in 13. Afshar lefarei shechanuch haya miyached yichudim, chanuch yichain yichud et olam hazeh gashmi olam ha'elyon ruchami. That's what it means that he was unifying worlds. He connected the physical world with the spiritual world. He was able to connect the two. Generally, a person who's involved in their work, whatever business you're in, whatever profession you're in. So when you're in the business world, you're thinking about making money, you're thinking about how much you're going to get paid, you're thinking about, you know, the dollars and cents, how you're going to be able to make ends meet. We're not focused in on, wow, what an opportunity I have, whatever profession I'm in, to be about chesed, to be able to give to others, to be able to enable others to be healthy, to be able to others to have a real estate, a beautiful home to live in, whatever it is. And that's the model that Chanuch gives us of walking with God. We're all involved in the physical world, whether it's a laundry or whether it's in the business world. Lo mashaneh. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we stay in that world, or are we able to somehow bridge that gap? And recognize that all that laundry I'm doing, wow, how much chesed I'm doing for my family, that they have clean clothes to wear, to be an Eved Hashem in a respectable manner. That we're able to reframe that what we're doing with an awareness of Shivisi Hashem Lenechi Tamid. Now here comes the punchline of the Siftei Chaim, and it's a Gevaldic punchline. Source 15. Kishi Nitbonei B'matzavein, when we take a look at our state of being, and without being able to really be honest with ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize that we do daven in front of Hashem, and we ask Him for many different things. However, albeit I'm asking Hashem for so many different things, Hashem, please give me this and this and that, but I'm not really aware that I'm talking to Hashem. It's like automatic pilot. I want, I want, I want. But who are you talking in front of? Really, the essence of davening is knowing in front of who you're standing, to recognize that lahargish, to feel that upon him, face to face with Hashem. And he continues in the bracket, and he says, many of us are involved in the course of our day, whether it's learning Torah, whether it's doing chesed, saying brachos, all of these different things. But how many of us, when we're learning Torah, when we're doing chesed, when we're saying brachos, we think about, I am now fulfilling the will of God. And to what extent am I aware that God is watching over me and that God is watching every single detail of my life? Of course I know it intellectually. No one's denying that. But how many of us live it? How many of us are b'chol drachecha da'ehu, to know Him, to have that intimate knowledge, to experience it, to feel it, to be aware of it? B'vadai, in the squiggly, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Tami Himayla Gedola Ma'or. Of course, it's a major thing while you're in the business world to think of God, and while you're involved in the material and physical world to be God conscious. Of course, that is. Aval lefachor in the aspects aleinu of least ragel lachshov l'arkisha malos hashiviti v'shal shoski peruchtios. He says, before jumping the gun, if we're going to start with the basic, before you meyachid yichudim in your work, you're doing this to make Am Yisrael feel better and have shoes to walk on. Let's start with the basics. In our spirituality, let us feel that we're connected to Hashem. When we're involved in our avodas Hashem, let us at least be aware that this is what we're doing. It's a kiyum mitzvah. This is what Hashem wants from us. And that, my friends, is the first lesson of the parsha for us. Et Elokim Hitalech Noach. Noach walked with Hashem. This is something that we need to strive for, in awareness of walking with Hashem. And as Rav Volpi points out in Chelek Beis of Al Eshur, a piece we've done many times in 16, the pasuk says, "By Noach et Elokim italech Noach, by Abraham italech lofanai, Klai Yisrael achrei Hashem Elokechem telechu." Harei yesh alechet, you have to walk with God, in front of Him, after Him. Just don't walk by yourself. This is the primary element of what it means to be a Yid. And Rav Wolpe goes on to explain that this is true not only in Maaseh, but in Machshava, even in our thoughts. We have to have the God consciousness at all times. And he says this was a lesson that Klal Yisrael learned right before Mamad Har Sinai by Asher Korcha, by Derech, but Amalek came. The outer enemy is really a symptom of what's going on within us. Asher Korcha Krirus, there was a coldness within us. We didn't have that feeling of connection to Hashem. And Amalek came to wake us up and make us alert to this. That is why the Limud Zeh, the dot at the end of 16, this was a prerequisite to get Torah. To always walk with Hashem. This is what Torah is about. It's an accompaniment to your head. Mitzvos is like a necklace that you wear. You feel Hashem surrounding you at all times. That level of connection. So idea number one for today, my friends, is halicha, walking with Hashem, is an awareness of Hashem at all times, and to begin that in avodas Hashem, in our mitzvos, in our ruchnias, we have this awareness that we have ki livyas chayneim l'roshecha. It's an adornment, it's an accompaniment, it's something that needs to surround us at all times. That's idea one. However, my friends, it doesn't end there. It's not just enough to have this awareness that Hashem is with us. There has to be a second component, and that's also found in this phrase. Et Elokim hitalech noach. The ability to have halicha, walking. What is the idea of walking about? So Nesiva Shalom, in the first Maimer on Lech Lecha, points out that Lech Lecha, to go, is the first command to the first Jew. And he describes in 17, Lech Lecha means El Yehudcha. Go to your destiny. Be constantly moving toward your goal. Don't be stagnant. And he points out in Source 18 that the concept of halicha, of walking, is found three times in Avraham Avinu's life, Lech Lecha. By Brismila, he saw Lech Lefanai Vayetami, walk in front of me and be with me and be whole. And then at the end, with Lech Lecha al Eretz Maria, with the Akedah. And the Nesiva Shalom notes that this reflects that there are three periods of a person's life. Their youth, their middle age, and their old age, and all aspects of life. And he notes that life changes. We change, the circumstances change, what is required of us changes, and we need to be able to move forward in each step. It's so easy to be stagnant. It's so easy to be passive. It's so easy to say, you know, I've hit a certain, you know, good momentum. Let me hold on to that. No. Lech Lecha, you have to move forward. Hitalech, the relationship with Hashem is not a stagnant relationship. Yes, level one is an awareness of Hashem's presence. Level two has to be taking that awareness and moving with it. As Nesiva Shalom points out in Source 19, Ubazesh Shoneh Inyan Aruchnias Minyan HaGashmiyim. This is what distinguishes spirituality to physicality. In the physical world, if you don't change your kitchen every 3 days, that's okay. But in spirituality, that can't be. You constantly have to move forward. And if you stand still, that in itself is falling. This is applicable in every aspect of one's life. So we have two aspects here. Awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, living that awareness, recognizing that every single thing I do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching, having a relationship with Hashem, that mitzvot are in order to be able to strengthen that experience and really have that kesher, that connection with Hashem. That mindset that I'm doing this because of Kach Sivani Abarid, because Hashem commanded me to do it. I'm aware of Hashem when I say a bracha, and I'm involved in my spiritual pursuit, as well as movement, that I can't stand still. With this in mind, my friends, we can now begin to explore level one of the two levels that Mirtz Hashem will deal today with, of the difference between Sad L'Tomcho, that helping hand, and being able to go on his own. The let's begin, and we'll take it a little bit. We'll begin on one level, we'll go deeper and deeper, my friends. We'll begin with the Kovod Sichos from Vachweigel Tzatzal, where he says, Havod ayu ratzim lefanav kisusim mivitzei mayim. The Avos HaKadoshim ran in front of Hashem like horses in a swamp. And you know anything about horses in a swamp, I know nothing about either. But apparently they can't stand still, because if they do, they're just going to sink. They constantly have to run. Havot lo asu hafsakot. Yadu shafsakot hem trilat mapalato shel adam v'ratzu lefanav b'li hafsakot. They knew that if they stopped, that would be the end. They kept on going. Ha'olech kedarko b'tzei mayim yitba. You're going to drown if you're going to stop. And this was the difference between Noach and Avraham. Noach, and this is from the moment that Adam was put to sleep. We've had this as part of our genetic DNA. You want to take time off. You move a little bit. You stop a little bit. That was the difference. Noach took asa izah saka. He took time to just sit back and just be Noach the Tzaddik. And therefore, every time he needed to start again, he needed that help to start him off again. The Tzad l'tamcho, to push him further. The Avos HaKadoshim never stopped. They were constantly in movement. They were able to constantly keep up that momentum because they had never stopped. Upeir Shadavars are my fine. And Ben Mishpatayim points out in 21, Shadam lo nivra b'shvil shabo b'mokom achad. We weren't created to stand in one place. V'yisodo shaldam harehu ma'alach v'lo omeg mekomo. Our job is to constantly move, to constantly move forward. And this was a problem with Noah, who went from an ish tzaddik to an ish adamah. When you pause, when you stop, when you're not focused on constantly growing and developing, these things happen. I'd like to share with you a beautiful insight I heard from a good friend of mine who was talking to me about, we're discussing this idea. She was telling me about her great aunt, her husband's great aunt, who was just yiftered at 100 and a half this summer. So Chabili Lui Nishvata. Hebrew name was Leah. They called her Aunt Laura. When she was 88, she came to visit them in Eretz Yisrael. And my friend brought her to the Kotel. And she arranged for a place to meet afterwards. They just, set a time and a place that they should meet. Okay? The time came, and my friend went to pick her up, and she wasn't there. My friend starts getting really nervous. Here's an 88-year-old woman, doesn't speak the language. Who knows what happened to her? Who knows where she is? How is she going to find her? She thought it was very clear, 12 o'clock, meet me right here. So she starts frantically looking around, and she sees Taka. She walked down a little bit from where she was. So she comes running over to her, Aunt Laura, is everything okay? I thought we were supposed to meet in this place. And she said to her the following, this is a woman who survived Auschwitz. She saved her sister, my friend's mother-in-law, in Auschwitz. She says, in Auschwitz you learned you never stood still. Someone who stood still in Auschwitz didn't make it. From Auschwitz I learned I never stand in one place, I always move. So yes, you told me to wait here, I know that, but I couldn't stand and wait. I had to move, and therefore I walked down. Very, very powerful idea. You don't stand still. Even waiting for somebody, you're constantly in movement. You're constantly in flux, you're constantly in flow. You stand still, that's the end. Spiritually, what a powerful idea Aunt Laura teaches us. You can't stand still. You constantly be in movement. You stand still, you've lost it. But both sides, let's understand this difference of Avram and Noah on a deeper level, what it means to stand still and what it means to move forward. One of the major differences between Avram and Noah, the Shem Shmuel, this is Rabbi Belovsky's English translation of the Sukkot Java Rebbe, in 22, is that Noah, Chazal tell us, was born mahul. He was born circumcised. And the first mitzvah we know, the first mitzvah of the Jews that Avraham Avinu was given, was bris milah. He says, what is this all about? So he notes that the Zohar HaKadosh likens Noah to Shabbos. We know that the Avos HaKadoshim are likened to the Shlosh Regalim. Pesach compared to Avraham Avinu, we've spoken about this. Yitzhak Avinu to Shavuos, Yaakov Avinu to Sukkot. We've spoken about this at length. David HaMelech, his Rosh Chodesh. So, what's the difference? So we know the distinguishing feature of Shabbos in the asterisk in 22 is that it's permanent and unchangeable. It falls on every seventh day and has done so since creation, without any human intervention. Our job is to zealously guard the Kedusha which it brings, and to avoid profaning it by doing prohibited melacha. Yom Tov, however, is quite different. In the ideal Jewish society, the Beis Din must proclaim the advent of the new moon. Only then can we know when Rosh Chodesh is. Yisrael themselves draw down the Kedusha when they proclaim it as a Yom Tov. In the same vein, we can understand the difference between Noach and the Avos. Noah was holy from an early age. He was born circumcised, implying a high level of intrinsic spirituality. However, that is where his spirituality rested within himself. He spent his life guarding himself from evil influences of his surroundings, preserving his own Kedusha. And that's what it means, that he was a tzaddik tamid. Avravino ever grew up with a terech as a father. He had to circumcise himself. He had to create the Kedusha himself. That is the idea of a yantif. That's the idea of creating yourself. This concept was embodied by Avram with all his descendants, relentlessly pursuing self-development, thus drawing down Kedusha to himself, which is similar to yantif. This is the difference between Noach and Abraham. Noach is Shabbos. Noach is intrinsic Kedusha. Noach is walking with God. But it's Kviya V'Kayama. It's constant. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, is constantly working, constantly bringing down more Kedusha. And more Kedusha, it's an ever-growing flux. And that's the concept of why we're B'nai Avraham and not B'nai Noach. This is the job of a Yid. It's not just to have intrinsic Kedusha and hold it there, but to be able to push forward, to be able to have that desire to grow even higher and higher, to move forward to the nth degree that we're able to. That's who we are. That's our genetic DNA. There's a Gevaldic idea that's brought down in source number 30, if we take a look for a moment. Bifkudecha Sicha, which is a Rosh Yeshiva in Square, Hasidic idea, where he says that, you know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all the different Umos HaOlam, and he asked them, you know, you want to keep the Torah? They said, you know, what does it say? Well, Lo Tirzah, well, we steal, and we kill, or Lo Tignah, we steal, we can't keep it. He says, Klal Yisrael were also told a mitzvah, which went against their character. They were tested with it also, but they passed the test. What was the test? Source 30, it's a Gevaldic insight. V'igbalta tahar, they weren't allowed to go up the mountain. They had to have a boundary around the mountain. He said that for a Jew was so difficult, it was counter to his nature. Just like the nature of a goy may be to kill him, to steal, the nature of a Jew is to go to the top of the mountain. The nature of the Jew is not to stay stagnant. And therefore, for the Jews to be told, V'igbalta tahar, you can't go up, you got to stay where you are for them, that was a commandment against their nature. And by following it, they were ready to say to Hashem, we're ready to do things even counter to our nature. And that is, Rabbi Katz points out, based on Moshe Shapiro, is the idea, Zatzal, of the Aretz being rats. This world is to run, is to move forward. Shamayim Sham is there when you've already met it. That. With this distinction between Avraham and Noach, that Avraham is moving forward. Avraham is yantif, Avraham is bringing the Kedusha down, Noach is standing stagnant, and therefore every time you move forward you need more and more help. We can appreciate even a deeper understanding of this based on the Birkas Mordechai Rav Ezrachi. And he says in 28, Shnei drachim heim b'seder avoda. There are two ways in the way that we work in our service of Hashem. So those who work on themselves, they can withstand trials. And that laziness won't get in their way, and they'll be able to do the best that they can. And that's wonderful. But then, there's another level. And that is that they turn their entire being into an Eved Hashem. This is the classic David HaMelech, where David HaMelech said, wherever I wanted to go, Chishavti drachai v'ashiva raglai losecha. David HaMelech said, Ribbono Shalom, every day I thought I'd be going to this place or that place. And guess what? I landed up in the Beis Medrash. A higher level is not working on each and every situation that I'm in, but I condition myself, I work on myself, that I'm constantly doing the Ritzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, that it becomes second nature to me, that wherever I'm going to the Beis Medrash. We know that the Sivah Shalom points out that by Avraham Avinu, by the Akedah, it says that Avraham Avinu had to take the machelet, he had to take the knife, Vayishlach et yado, he had to extend his hand to shecht his son. Why do I need to know he had to extend his hand? Isn't that extra? No, I mean yes, but no, because the hand itself didn't want to do the Akedah. The hand itself said, this isn't what you're supposed to do. The hand itself was saying, you know, I have to hand it to you, Avraham Avinu, that you're going against what's supposed to be done. And therefore he had to really, what? Extend himself. That was the level of the Avos HaKadoshim. That was the level of the Shvatim, where their entire being was ready to do the Ritzon of Hashem. And that's why you find in 29 that Noach is called Mikhat Amuna. It was hard for him to go into the Teva. He knew intellectually, he had to work on it. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to help him into the Teva. A person of Avram's stature, his feet would have, you know, pushed him into the Teva, into the Ark in itself. It wasn't going to be a struggle each and every time. That, my friends, is the difference between Sad L'Tomcho, being helped, and walking in front of Hashem. Being helped means that, yes, you have Hashem awareness. Yes, you're working on yourself. Yes, you want to overcome the trials and tribulations. But each and every time, you got to start from scratch. This situation, okay, let me garner up the strength not to speak Lashon Hara. Okay, let me work on it and ask for Siyata Deshmaya. Let me get help in this situation to do what's right. A person who's constantly working on themselves works to the extent that their entire being, their mouth can't even open their mouth to speak Lashon Hara. Their feet won't go somewhere. It's working on oneself to such an extent, it's a lifetime work, that they are completely immersed in what is the Ritzon Hashem, and therefore don't need that same level. Obviously, we need Siyata Deshmaya. No one's denying that. But we don't need that same level of Siyata Deshmaya at every step of the way. How does this relate to us in our lives? It seems like, you know, my mouth not speaking Lashon Hara was automatically like, okay, so the answer is yes, we can condition ourselves. Perhaps I'd like to maybe make another suggestion that may be a little bit more down to earth. Rav Wolbe Shireich Chumash, source 32 in the asterisk. He says, "Anachdom we're galim lachakod echad et hasheni. We're used to imitating, copying one another. B'nei Adam osim kefi masheroim etzel acherim. We do what others do. Hamitbonei b'davar. If you look closely, tzarich lufachei pachad ara. If you're really thinking about it, you should be a little bit nervous. Kishamdim ozeh shem shum davar l'rachash v'matzminu. We have to ask ourselves, how much of avodas Hashem did I work on from within? I was conditioned from a young age to wash my hands before bread. I learned how to daven from school. Then I was, you know, brought to higher education. If you're brought up by good parents, and or a good education, then you do everything like you're told. Just like ever before you did. But you're not doing anything from yourself. You're doing this because you were told to do this. You're doing this exactly the way you were told. The Dan 32 of Saba Mikel Mamar, Omer, Saba Mikel says, what's the true sign that you're doing something for the sake of heaven? Who can show see my son lobby glass shamisha wachero soto, the lobby glass shamrula la soto, not because someone else told you to do this and told you how to do this. If you have an idea, you know, I really want to do this chesed, or I want to learn this safer, or I want to dive in this way, and you're it's coming from yourself without anyone telling you, that's really the shem shamnaim. That's our job, to build ourselves. And don't fool yourself thinking, you know, I'm learning and I'm davening. Of course I'll be a tzaddik and a tamid chacham. No, it's going to happen automatically. No. The Bali Musar tell us a principle. Shum davar lo ba mimela, the triple underline. Nothing happens by itself. If we leave our avoda just by automatic pilot without working on ourselves, we are going to go down. My friends, let's say we were taught, as an example, to say Tehillim every day. What would it take to enhance our Tehillim by singing the Tehillim itself? That is bringing for myself an enhancement, a level of connection. You know, this summer I had the opportunity to be 8 Shabbases in the North America area. And I felt like a seminary student. I was in a lot of people's houses for Shabbos. I saw a lot of families. I saw a lot of dynamics. And I learned a lot of very interesting things. And I saw a house, a Kolo family in Boston, very, very, very special Chasheva family, who when the mother lit Friday night candles, she took her little Kinderlach and danced with them and sung with them in the living room, bringing in Shabbos. It was so sweet. It wasn't just doing this. It was dancing with them. Another woman sat in front of the candles for 40 minutes, davening and saying Tehillim in Silver Spring, just pouring out her soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beyond the, you know, just the Hiratzon to say. Cincinnati, Ohio, the Rav, also such special people, before Shalom Aleichem, to sing with his family a song of inviting in Shabbos. Create the environment. This is what it's about, making it from yourself, that you can create this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's about. You know, you go through the motions, it's going to be dry. What does it mean that you can walk on your own? It means that you're able to take initiative to bring yourself, to make that dessert in a way that you're going to do the chesed that's going to have your imprint on it. I'm not just talking about on the you know, fingerprints on the cake. It's going to be yours. It's your stamp of chesed. That's what it's about. Movement forward is always asking myself, how can I bring myself into the equation? How can I do this to enhance the kelei vaveyu, the mitzvah that I'm doing, in a way that's going to make it more beautiful, in a constantly growing manner? And I'd like to take this idea one step further. 33 is a sefer I picked up in Miami. It took me many different places this summer, my friends. Panimim on the Torah, which was put out, a sefer from the Cleveland Hebrew Academy. And I feel very personally, very special to use this sefer. It was given to us by my mother-in-law's very close friend, call her Aunt Mina, even though she's not related to us, a 90-year-old woman. They were together in Cuba as youngsters, and apparently she would give them donations. So she had all of these books that she got that she had no use for, her children have no use for. And we went over there, and she said, maybe you could use these books. You know, these things below a lane would get thrown out. So here I felt like, wow, it's mamish, you know, like taking these precious diamonds, these few svarim in English, and being able to use them. Is a tremendous chus that they found a proper home. So in the Sefer 33, he points out the Medrash Tekhuma explains that Hashem protected Noah, not allowing him to falter and fall into the spiritual abyss created by the wicked of his generation. This is compared to a king who sends his son, the crown prince, on a mission. Along the way, he must traverse an area inundated with quicksand. The king provides support for his son, protecting him from falling into the quicksand. Avram, on the other hand, walked alone without the need for support. Our Moshe Shmuel Shapiro style observes Midrash distinguishes between the prince, who's on a mission for his father, the king, and the individual who, like Avram, is on his own performing the will of the king. One who's sent on a mission will invariably cancel the mission when he encounters a challenge. This is part of the deal. One who's on his own, who acts on behalf of the king, because he seeks to perform his will, is not overcome by challenge. He proceeds forward, considering himself as nothing more than Hashem's emissary. When the going becomes rough, when he's confronted with the spiritual pitfalls of a living and a generation of thieves, he could not handle the challenge. He needed Hashem's support. Avram did not view himself as an agent. He was on his own, taking his own initiative, going forward and acting in a manner which he believed was necessary. Nothing was going to prevent him from achieving his goal. nothing was going to stand in his way. And obviously, he knows, as Rashi says, he's mitchazek, ever needs strength, ever needs chizuk, but he's able to give it to himself. I know I'm serving Hashem. I know that I can do this. I know I can push forward. So this is the first idea, my friends, of the distinction of sadlut tovcho, is people who work, but take breaks, which means that they're not constantly involved, they're not constantly being mechadish, they're not constantly training themselves, making them part of themselves, their avodas Hashem. It's a lot of, you know, doing, going back and forth, stopping, starting, stopping, starting, stopping, and you need help every time you start again. One who's constantly moving forward, one who's constantly thinking, how can I do this better? How can I make this part of myself? How can I make Hashem happy? Is someone who's constantly working and is just going to work on that momentum to move forward, and that was the level of Avraham Avinu. That's idea one. Idea two, in the short amount of time that we have left, is an idea that the Mussar HaTorah brings from, is quoted in the Chochmah HaMatzmut of Ivbiki. And he says, why did Noach need help? When a person is involved in just perfecting themselves without influencing others, they're going to need extra shkata d'shmaya. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, was mezakeh tarabim, and that was the greatest help and the greatest sad, the greatest help that a person can have. As Chazal tell us, call a mezakeh tarabim ein chet bal yado. When a person is mezakeh tarabim, when a person makes others close to Hashem, that's a protection in its own right. So Noah, who was just interested in influencing himself, he was working on himself to be the best he could be. He needed Hashem's protection because there was nothing else protecting him. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, who was involved in bringing people closer to Hashem, that in itself was the greatest protection. That in itself was the greatest chizuk. And he didn't need that special siyata d'shmaya at every step of the way. As the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, whoever makes 39 a multitude gives a merit, no sin shall come through him. But whoever brings sin, then they will not be given the means to achieve repentance. And as Rabbi Bunim points out in Ethics from Sinai, in Source 40, the first spiritual law in our Mishnah is that someone leads others to righteousness and virtue. If he makes his concern to guide others toward merit, he earns providence, special concern. Circumstances will be so ordered both within and without him, they will never unwittingly lead others astray. Why should this be the particular reward, that no sin will come to him? Our sages give a beautiful reason. Whoever leads many to merit, no transgression will be set in motion through him, so his disciples should not become heir to the world to come, and he descend to the netherworld. For it stated, that I will not abandon my spirit to the netherworld, having led others to virtues only just, that at their head will lead them the one who brought them there. This, my friends, is our challenge. And this is what we learned, the difference between Noach and Avraham. Noach is faulted. K'mei Noach ha'isadli. This is the Haftarah, that Noach is referred to as the waters of Noach, because he was not able to influence his generation. Our job, and this is every person, whether you're in Kiruv or not, is to be able to go out and be mezakeh the rabbi, bring others closer to Hashem. On a basic yet profound level, step by step, Rabbi Nissel has a piece on Zikui Rabbim. Zikui Rabbim is for everyone. The moment you live a Torah life, you're inexorably intertwined with the klal. There are countless acts that we do each day that affect our surroundings positively. Often we're not even aware of what we have done. Small acts of kindness can have enormous impact on the people we have touched, even a passing compliment or a smile. And this is what Rav Lopian sets out in Levi Eliyahu in Source number 36 explained. He says, part of Gemilus Chesed is to do Gemilus Chesed with the nefesh, acts of kindness with the soul of another person. And the greatest act of kindness you can do for somebody is to give him Olam Haba, to give him the future world. And he says a person who is mezakeh the rabbi, one who influences other people. And as Rabbi Bunim notes in 42, it's every teacher, instructor, every parent, everyone who supports a Torah institution. These people are even greater than all the angels. And he says in 37, Harei edut berua ki ein avodatcha l'shamayim v'lo l'chvot shamayim ata osek b'tara mitzvos kim l'arot z'chacha v'tu lo midi. A person who's just working on their own avodas Hashem and trying to be the best they can be, it's really not doing it for kvot shamayim. It's really not for the sake of heaven. It's really in order for you to get a reward. You want to know what for the sake of heaven is, and this is what Rabbi Fran speaks about in 43, it's what the Rambam says, that if you really love somebody, you're going to want to share it with the world. If you're really involved in kvot shamayim, that you really love Hashem so deeply, you're going to want everyone around you to love Hashem. You're going to want to share it with everyone around you. That is the greatest mark that you are an Eved Hashem, that you are a servant of Hashem for kvot shamayim, not just for your olam haba, but for Hashem's sake. How do you know if you're really for Hashem's sake? You're interested, you're inspired to have others come closer to Hashem. And again, it's what I just mentioned. It doesn't necessarily have to be in Kirub. You hear a beautiful idea and you share it with somebody, you're mitzakeh the rabbi. You see a certain hanhaga, a certain act, and you think it's special, and you say, you know, to somebody, I saw this going on, you know, this dancing and singing with this mother lighting candles, and it inspires somebody else. I just saw this recently. I met somebody who I had made mention, I think I made him even mention here, that being at somebody's house who will not serve leftovers when they make meals for somebody. She will always cook a fresh meal for the person. And I made mention of this to a group of women that I teach, and this person came back to me a few months later and says, you should know, now when I make a meal for somebody, I'll never pull something out of the freezer. I'll always make something fresh. You don't know how one comment that you make, off-the-cuff comment, of something you saw that really impressed you, you then, the ripple effect to other people as well. That's our job. It's not only how can I be the best I can be. It's about how can I inspire the world that everyone can be the best they can be. When you are only inspiring yourself, you need a salat temchot. You need a lot of siyata dishmaya because you're only in it for yourself. When you're in it for others, when you're inspiring others, their schus, their merit, the merit of kvot shamayim is there to help you. That's the automatic support. You don't need that constant support from Hashem because you have that support built in from all those around you. Let me end with a great maisa that Rabbi Nissel brings in this Sefer Step by Step, where you just see the ripple effect of how one thing leads to another. Speaking about a person who's doesn't mention name, a master in Kiruv. When he was at Avrech, when he was young, learning in Kola, at a certain point he went over to the Rosh Yeshiva and said to him, I just can't make it. I need to go into the business world. I just can't support my family. A few days later, the Rosh Yeshiva came to him and said, I have a deal of a lifetime. There's a businessman who wants to be Chozer B'Tshuva, wants to come back to Yiddishkeit, and he is ready to pay somebody a full-time salary to teach him and his children just a few hours a week at night. So this was like, you know, a dream job. He was able to learn during the day, teach his family at night. And indeed, he was able to stay in Kolel and eventually become this massive Kiruv, you know, guru. At one point, after, you know, down the road, he asked this businessman, what inspired you to want to be a Chozer B'Tshuva, to want to return to Yiddishkeit? So the fellow told him the following. He says, I was a secular businessman. And in the 1970s, I was asked to go on one of these missions to Russia, you know, on these clandestine missions to do business, at the same time to bring in religious articles. We all know they used to bring in, let's say, four pairs of tefillin, and they would say, why do you need four pairs? One for me and one for my wife, one for the weekday and one for Shabbos, one for my wife for the weekday and one for my wife for Shabbos. The fact that women don't wear tefillin and we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos went beyond the Russians to understand, right? And that's what they would do. He said, one time I was at the end of my trip, and it was leaving Sunday morning, and it was Motzei Shabbos, and I was by a fellow's house, and I said to him, I'm sorry, I just have nothing left to give you. I've given out, like, all my goodie bags. All I have is a Havdalah candle. I apologize. This fellow took the Havdalah candle, this businessman said, and starts to cry hysterically, and keeps on saying, it's a miracle, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And he says, what are you talking about? So this Russian fellow said, I'll tell you, Last year, there was a rabbi that came from England who said we should all take on a mitzvah and be mahadir in that mitzvah and to do it in the most beautiful way possible. I took on Havdalah, that I want to make every part of my Havdalah as beautiful as possible. Last week, my Havdalah candle finished, and I had no Havdalah candle. And I could use two matches, but I wanted to make it as beautiful as possible. And I davened to Hashem all week, Hashem, do a miracle for me. Please give me a Havdalah candle. And here, you brought me a Havdalah candle. This business man said, I was so impressed with the sincerity and the beauty of this story that I decided that I wanted to learn, and hence went in to support him. And hence, you see, when this fellow of the Havdalah candle gets up to Shemayim, he's going to be responsible for these thousands of Balei Tshuva. He's going to say, all I did was daven for a Havdalah candle. That's all you think you did. And the businessman. And this is a ripple effect that we all have. And it all goes back to that rabbi who said, you should take one mitzvah and make it beautiful. That one comment then spiraled that thousands of people's lives are changed. Rabosai, this is our mission for this week and for our whole lives. And to Elokimi Telech Noach, God consciousness. At least once a day when we say a bracha to actually think I'm talking to God. When I start Shemoneh Esrei, to actually stop and say I'm moving three steps forward into Hashem's domain. To have that awareness that in my Avodas Hashem, I'm doing this L'Shem Shemayim. Step one. Step two, Halicha. To always be moving. Not to stay forward. Aunt Laura, don't stay in one place. Always ask myself, how am I different? How have I changed? Where am I going? We're starting a new year now. We finished Yamim Noraim. What kabbalas am I taking on myself? What new momentum? How am I going higher in my spiral, my Avodas Hashem? Three, being able to make it part and parcel of who you are. To make it personal. To add that element of excitement, of song, of beauty. That I am connecting to it and not just going through the motions. That I'm doing something that I'm not being told how to do it and where to do it and when to do it. But I'm taking my own initiative. Have that initiative in the correct context in my Avodas Hashem. Within what is appropriate, not to create your halacha chas v'shalom, but within what's appropriate to be able to beautify it with my own stamp. And finally, to be able to understand that the purpose of my life is not just to become the best I can be, but to be able to become the best I can be and to inspire others that they should be the best they can be. Go out this week. Find things that you can share, a word, an idea, something to bring a person closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Begin that spiral, that domino effect rolling, that you can be able, through your actions and through your behavior, through your speech, that you indeed can inspire others, and that in itself will be the siyata d'shmaya, the help that you need to be able to maintain that relationship to go higher and higher in your Avodas Hashem.